Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
In Powerhouse, our focus this morning, we're going to talk about a number of things. Kathy Anderson is here. She has brought a couple of her co-workers and friends, and I'll let her introduce them in just a second. But Kathy, good to have you here. It's been a while since I've seen you.
Good morning, Ted. I know. It's been a while.
It is a number of things going on with Empower. First of all, let me ask you about an event that took place a couple of weeks ago in Stafford when they gave an award to Patricia, what's her name?
Trish Jackson.
Jackson is on your board and has it's just a phenomenal story. And for her to get that award and for her story to get out like it has, those are some of the things you come in here and talk about a lot.
So Stafford Commonwealth Attorney's Office and the Victim Witness Assistance Program had an event for Crime Victims Awareness Week. And she received the Molly Gill Survivor Award. It was the third time they've awarded this honor. And her story is so compelling. I know you know it because I know you've heard her speak before, and I know you heard her speak that night. I believe you taped it.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that she came out of the relationship she was in, and the strength and resilience, and the way that she has been able to spread her message to others and inspire others is part of what made her the recipient of this award. But again, her story, just having tried to separate, mm-hmm. and having her husband of 20 or so years not want to let go. And the way he didn't want to let go was to stalk her. And when he finally managed to get her alone by tricking her to get into their house with a realtor who he shooed away before she got there, and then he held her captive in the house while he attempted to kill her. She escaped that, and then her story goes from there. The next 7 or so years, while she received help, but while she endured putting up with the court system all those years while he fought her, even behind bars, even at while he was in prison.
Yeah, no, it's a gripping story, and just shows you that it's the kind of story that you see in movies, but it's the kind of story that happens right around here, happens in our neighborhoods.
Right. I mean, she and her son, and part of her story too is that, I don't know how much this was talked about, is that you know, her neighbors and her friends helped keep her alive. Like, I don't think that there was one aspect to the situation she was in that made the one difference. I mean, she herself was tremendous and brave, and her son. But to escape that, she needed support, and she was given that support by friends, by neighbors. There was a point when she was staying at a neighbor's house, and they, in talking about it later, we talked about how much in danger the whole family was, and they ended up getting a gun and really had to safety plan around hit the possibility of him showing up at the house. I mean, she then later moved in after he was in court and spent some time in jail and was released. She had an apartment in another county, and he broke into the secure neighborhood, and there was evidence of him pursuing her there.
Yeah, no, just scary stuff. And it's some of the things that, as I heard the story, I thought we've talked about all of these topics different times, and just how real it is, and just unfortunately how widespread it is.
You said in our neighborhoods, I mean, it's 1 in 4 women experience severe physical violence at the hands of an intimate partner. And in this community, that's thousands and thousands of women every year. So, Empower House serves over 3,000 women and their children. If you count some of the other programs that we have that aren't victims and their children, you're looking at probably 3,200 people that we're serving. So in our community, 6,500 law enforcement calls are made for domestic violence.
It's scary stuff, and unfortunately, that's why you're here, and that's why you're doing things. And powerhouseva.org is the website. Kathy Anderson is here. I'll let you introduce who you brought along today, because we've got a lot to talk with them about.
Great. Susan Sigmund and LaTanya Moraney are both court advocates for Empower House, and they were kind enough to say yes to coming this morning, and we've got a lot to talk about in opening our new office.
That new office is in King George, and Susan, you have an office right in the sheriff's office, don't you?
We do. The sheriff of King George County, Sheriff Steve Dempsey, was gracious enough to give us working space within their facility, so it really allows for a good flow of providing services to the people who are need them based on the way this grant is written for us to do the outreach services.
When I saw that, the first thing I thought of is different things. The Stafford Sheriff's Office came to mind, that they always talk about how their work with Special Olympics helps them understand the families and that community so much better. And I thought, you're doing, in some ways, some of the same things on the domestic violence side with the sheriff's office personnel.
That's correct. And we've always provided services for King George County. They're part of the planning districts that we provide services to. However, we haven't had an outreach office located in King George County until now. Mm-hmm. So we're really, really excited about this opportunity, because there's a lot of challenges that come with a rural community, and this provides an opportunity for Empower House to be able to really have our feet on the ground in King George on a more full-time basis and offer the services to those people who we know absolutely need them but may not have been aware of our services or may not have had access to our services prior to this.
So you've been doing this since early part of the year?
We opened our services up probably about then, yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so we've kind of, this is a new initiative, so we're on a little bit of a learning curve, but what we have absolutely seen as a result of everything we're doing is the feedback from this and the need for this was paramount, and we are really, really thankful to be there.
And LaTanya, you're also part of the King George Initiative too?
I am. Susan and I have partnered. We're dividing and conquering, for lack of a better term. Susan is providing the outreach as far as meeting with clients in the King George office. My primary role is to go out into the King George community to educate them on the fact that we are now embedded within their community, as well as to educate them on domestic violence. And that has been an absolute wonderful experience to be in the community, letting people know that we are there, that there is hope. And each time I walk into an office, it gives people an opportunity to tell their story.
Yeah.
So
oh, and I'm sure
lots of stories.
I was just going to say that. That's the thing is, I've gotten to know Kathy, and she brings people in, and the stories that they tell. You just think all these stories are happening here.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And what I find is that when I walk in and ask, have you ever heard of us? And of course, we've had two names. One is Empower House, mm-hmm. and then formerly known as the Rappahannock Council on Domestic Violence. And there has been a resounding no. And although we have been in this community for almost 40 years, once we get over that and I tell them that we're here in the community, in King George County, the smile on their face and the constant reaffirming of, we're so glad you're here, is really astounding.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that surprising that mm-hmm. you still run into a lot of people that mm-hmm. say they have never even just you, and you've been in the the name has been out there
Absolutely. So
much in recent years.
Absolutely.
So there's still work to be done.
Mm-hmm.
We are talking about Empowerhouse this morning, empowerhouseva.org. More coming up on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're talking domestic violence this morning. Empowerhouse is here, empowerhouseva.org. is the website if you want to find out more information about what Empowerhouse does. Kathy Anderson here, Susan Sigmund is here, and LaTanya Moraine is here talking about all that's going on. LaTanya, when you talked about actually being in the community and talking mm-hmm. to people, I would think that that's really good just because you put a face, a local face, and for some people it's probably tough, even if they know about Empowerhouse, to make that first move. But if they can maybe somehow get the word out, you know, you're at least a familiar face to some people.
Oh, absolutely. And it's really about relationships as well. And domestic violence is something that is often hidden behind a closed door, and their victims are often silenced. But when people can have that relationship with you and know that you are there actually to offer that hope, then those veils of secrecy slowly start coming down and they start to share their story. So it's absolutely been a phenomenal experience.
Kathy, I would think, especially over the years since you've been coming in, we've been talking about this, with the number of athletes that have been caught into this, and now you're even seeing in colleges some big name college football players who get caught and who get charged with domestic violence are finding that they're being suspended or losing their scholarships, or the more light that is being shown on this and shined on this, it's starting to take hold that this isn't ever acceptable.
Right, we've really seen a change, a shift. Domestic violence has been against the law for, you know, I can't tell you how many years. And 20 years ago, a lot of folks didn't want to talk about domestic violence. Many didn't believe that it was against the law. I would say we still encounter people who don't realize it's against the law. But certainly because of the publicity and the fact that well-known figures in our society this issue is being addressed, that it is against the law, that it's a crime that's dangerous. I think that's the other thing that I think in the past people may have thought of domestic violence as a conflict between two people who have a relationship. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people think, well, that's a family matter, that's a private matter. Well, it's not a private matter when there's a crime that is continually, it continues in that relationship. It continues because domestic violence is not a one-time occurrence. It is something that is a pattern that that continues because somebody wants to maintain power over their partner. It's a form of control. And as that control carries on in the relationship and continues, it gets worse. And really the intention is to completely overpower that individual. And sometimes the ultimate act of that is killing someone. So in Virginia, every 5 days, someone is killed because of domestic violence. So for people to look at this more seriously, as it has been looked at in more recent years, it can't really be ignored. It can't be something that's seen as a private matter between two individuals. It's got to be taken up. And the fact that coaches and teams and in other arenas it's being taken seriously means that people value human life.
Well, I saw in the case, and I just found this really surprising last week, and was glad to see that it reached this point, the Oklahoma running back, the University of Oklahoma running back, who was convicted of this, he sat out a year, but there was a lot of criticism on the university. Now that he's ready to be drafted, I have seen in a number of teams that could draft him in those particular cities, columnists have written columns and saying, we don't want him here, don't draft him.
It is so huge to finally give credence to hey, your behavior matters. You know, there used to be a lot of talk about grades, like, you know, people had to get good grades to be on a sports team. To say we're going to accept you because of how you play, but also because of the person you are and the character that you bring is huge. So to help players understand that it's not anything goes, you know, that devaluing human life, women, girlfriends, wives, that it's not okay is just a tremendous act, and we're glad to see it.
And I guess for all of you, something like when people saw, now that we see more and more video, but you see that Ray Rice video, that made it so clear what happens. And you hear those stories and you see them all the time, but to actually, or you hear about them, but to actually see it, Susan, is something that, the horror of that.
It does. And I think, you know, the old adage about a picture's worth a thousand words. And so when you see a video like that, or some of the other videos that are available now, and you realize when someone says, I got hit in the face, or I was pushed down, or I was hit, kicked, spit on, just the whole variety of different types of physical abuse that one individual will perpetrate against another one, and you actually see that footage, and you know that this isn't something that's made up for television, that these are real people, it really brings huge impact to getting an understanding of this is what is happening in our neighborhoods, with family, with friends, in our community, with the people we see in the grocery store and the people we worship with and the people we work out with at the gym. That, again, when you think of that statistic, 1 in 4, it really puts the reality of what that statistic looks like right in our faces, and it can't be ignored.
Yeah. Oh, no. For years, I always think, when Kathy first gave that statistic, I would think, well, our neighborhood's okay. And in recent years, we have had a couple. And you just think, it really is true.
And I always think it's interesting, too, and especially referring back to the Ray Rice video, when people talk about how shocking it was and how appalling and how horrific it is. And this was something that took place in public. So what is happening in that home and in other homes that is not in a public venue? It really makes you think about the extent of the seriousness of what domestic violence is and the impact it has on everybody involved, including the children.
A couple of weeks ago, there were a couple of dispatchers, one with the city and one with Spotsylvania in, and they were talking just about how they look for clues when people call for even just innocent kind of things. And I guess, and I would think, you all being in the community like you are and working with the sheriff's office, that's another good thing of being there, of you may be able to spot something that maybe needs a little bit more investigation or a kind of a look-see.
Well, I think it provides a unique and at the same time a phenomenal opportunity to really build a good collaborative working partnership with the law enforcement agencies in our area, and especially with this King George opportunity that we have, because it allows us to provide them education on the things that we see and we hear, so that when they're on scene, for victim safety, victim sensitivity, and also for safety themselves as the responding law enforcement agency. And it also allows us to glean a better understanding of what they are experiencing when they receive a domestic violence call, so that we can talk about the things that are happening on those kinds of calls and how we can all effectively work together to try to address this situation so that victims can come forward and be safe and continue to move forward in their lives.
Yeah, and boy, and LaTanya, I would guess just having you two there gives King George the opportunity to say, if you need someone to talk to, I know somebody, you know, we've got somebody, and, you know, she's available.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's interesting because I always tell them that Susan's there, and they always want, and who's there? And who's there? And her name is Susan.
Yeah.
And you can give her a call at any time. Mm-hmm. And they're taking down numbers, and they want the information in their businesses so that when their customers walk in, and if their customers need help.
Yeah.
That there's a card there that they can confidentially pick up if it's in the bathroom. We're also putting posters in the bathroom stalls where if they need that privacy, they can go in and take a picture of the number and keep it in their phone.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would think, Susan, just to have you there, it's one thing to say, you know, I've got a deputy that can come and talk to you, even if the deputy is a female. But the fact that you're there and you're not in uniform and you're just someone they can talk to.
Right. It probably feels a lot less intimidating.
Yeah.
And to have a face associated with a place. And so with all the services that Empower House can offer someone in this situation, to have a face and a voice and someone who says, I hear you, I understand what you're experiencing, and please know that you're not alone. And I think that's so significant for a lot of people to know that someone is going to believe them first and foremost, and to let them know they're not alone. And no one ever deserves to have their voice silenced for any reason. And so we're happy to be there to be able to try to help them find their voice and get safe.
EmpowerHouseVA.org is the website. We're talking about Empower House this morning, formerly the Rappahannock Council on Domestic Violence. More coming up on Town Talk this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
We're talking about Empower House this morning and the work that they provide the community. EmpowerHouseVA.org is the website. Kathy Anderson is back with us along with LaTanya Morine and Susan Sigmund. And we are talking about the work that they do. One of the things coming up, Kathy, that you have on this coming Saturday, 1 o'clock at the Smoot Library in King George, is a Boil the Frog Slowly. We have done something on that in the past. It's a play that it's on, based on domestic violence.
It's an incredible theatrical performance. I want to say there's 7 to 9 actors. It takes place in a beauty salon. And it is telling the stories of local survivors of domestic violence. So a wonderful man from the Actor Shop of London, he wrote the play. He interviewed local survivors and came up with this performance. There's a teen in the production, as well as a lot of women in the salon. Each of them have a story. And that's probably all I should say, but probably also will say that a couple of the women in telling their stories talked about their experience in terms of it was like they didn't know it was happening to them until it was happening. Mm-hmm. And that is at the point that they were kind of stuck in the relationship. So Boil the Frog Slowly was an analogy of what they experienced, that they were in a pot of water, that the heat was slowly turned up, that they didn't really even know was happening until, again, they were in it.
A couple of years ago, interviewed Derek Brown, who wrote it, and then one of the local survivors, and it was, I'll never forget it. It was just, her story was just riveting, of how long she'd been in a marriage and just some of the things that she had to put up with.
Right. Brenda was interviewed for the performance and her story is in the play. The Rude Mechanicals are bringing this play back, and you know, we have to thank LaTanya for being in the community and really coming up with this idea with the Smoot Library of bringing this performance back. It's been almost maybe a year and a half since it first was in our community.
So it's Saturday, 1 o'clock at the Smoot Library. You can register online at smoot.org or the Smoot Library reference desk. And LaTanya, thank you for this. This is a good, and I just guess this is another nice little component that you're able to add to the community. And it's just, it gets the word out. This is a powerful performance.
Absolutely, it does. And we're all about education. And this is just another piece of educating the community.
You are both court advocates.
That's correct.
What's that involved? You go to court with help women who are dealing with this and get them through the legal system. Is that what's involved there?
Correct. We do. For some people, the first involvement with the court system might be because of placing a 911 call. For others, they've never had their situation routed through law enforcement, but maybe they're filing a protective order, and sometimes there's custody and things like that that also come down the road. A lot of the people that we interact and engage with, though, is because there's a criminal charge attached to their situation, and so having a person there to offer guidance and support on what to expect. Many people have never been in the courtroom setting before, especially facing their abuser. So it brings an entirely different dynamic to being in the courtroom and doing a lot of safety planning, because life happens after you walk out of those courtroom doors too. And so the other services that we can offer, we give a lot of education, a lot of outreach. It's a lot of times it's almost a triage situation. We might meet that person a few minutes before they're headed into the courtroom to face their abuser. So we will talk with them then. We will talk with them afterwards. Anything you'd like to add, LaTanya?
No, I think you covered it.
Boy, but you think of all the things that are happening to a person who's a victim, whether it's just the abuse itself and how just disappointing and horrific that can be. But then you talk about having to make decisions about leaving, and then you're talking about the court system and having to face the person, and there's just a lot of stuff happening.
There is, and one of the key things that we do is we also do a risk assessment with individuals, because it's not as easy as just going home and packing a suitcase.
Yeah.
And so really talking about what plans look like, what choices and options that people have. Sometimes they don't feel like they have any whatsoever, or talking them through what their choices and their options may be and what's going to work best for them. They know their situation better than anyone, because they're living it every day, and they know that abuser better than anyone. And so having a person that says, I hear you and I understand, and let's talk about what your goals are for getting you safe, for getting you and your children safe, and what that needs to look like, and what are other supplemental services that can go along with that, whether that's support group or whether that's teen groups or whether that's housing or all of the different bits and pieces, shelter, that may be components that need to be incorporated into this individual situation.
And we talk here like it's always middle-aged people, but this is a can be a teenage problem too.
Definitely. I mean, we do outreach in middle schools and high schools, talking about healthy relationships, dating violence, how to help a friend that may be experiencing something like that. So we know it starts really early, and the sooner we can do intervention and preventative type work through education, then the more likely we are to either hopefully stop domestic violence from occurring or offer services and assistance to somebody who might be experiencing it.
But Kathy, one of the things, and I've said this to you before, you think of all these different things out there, and you wonder at times how people even, where this community would be without Empower House, and where people have been in the past, when you have to make all of these decisions yourself, there's a lot of brave people out there that had to do it even before this help.
I know. I think of the ladies who started the organization and a gentleman, and how it is that they got started. And one of the things that they used to do as all volunteers running the organization is the law enforcement would be called, and in the middle of the night they would drive out and pick up this family. Sometimes they would go by themselves. Sometimes they'd go with their husband or their son. I mean, there's lots of stories from these early years of going out and getting that family, bringing them to their house, and going from there. It's a tremendously brave thing to make a decision to walk out of the relationship or take action of any sort. It's tremendously brave to call our hotline and not know who you're going to talk to. It's embarrassing. It's frightening. You fear that you might be caught. You might not be ready to take action yet, but you are making a phone call, and you know that you've been threatened. And to take any action whatsoever is terrifying.
What is the hotline?
It's 373-9373.
And that's just if you've got a concern, a problem, or want to talk to somebody.
You know, it's 24 hours, and really that line can be used for any reason. So somebody has a question and they want to find out, or just, you know, they want to find out more about Boil the Frog Slowly, they could call that number. We have an office line as well, but this is the 24-hour line.
And your offices now are off of Lafayette Boulevard.
Right, at 150 Old Greenwich, Suite 101. And we're not quite as visible as we were on the corner of Harrison in Route 1, where the building was torn down. However, we're just as accessible and in some really good space over there.
Now that they've moved the lanes over there, and I was sitting in a lane the other day, and I thought of you guys. But I'm sitting in someone's office. I might be sitting in Kathy's office here.
Exactly.
But yeah, you were right out there. But you still got lots of room, and just off of Lafayette Boulevard, just.
I know. So we have that central office, and then we have outreach offices as well, like the one in King George. And we're just thrilled that Sheriff Dempsey invited us to open the office and do some good work.
How did that whole grant come about?
Yeah, so there was a Violence Against Women grant request for proposals several years ago, and we partnered with the sheriff and some others to apply and seek funding for an advocate and for an investigator. We didn't get that grant, but this summer something came up again with Victims of Crime Act money through the state. So we applied again, and they said yes. And so that was to establish the office in King George. At the time, we didn't know for sure that it would be a full-time opportunity at the sheriff's office. Mm-hmm. We knew that Sheriff Dempsey said, sure, there was a desk we could use there, but we didn't realize he was opening that to us for 40 hours. And that is such a great opportunity for the community and for us.
Boy, and LaTanya, you talk about going around in the community and finding so many people who aren't aware. I mean, you're just like a pioneer in King George.
Wow, I've never been thought of as a pioneer, but I'll take that.
You need is a covered wagon now.
That's right. That's right. Yes, it is something. This initiative has been eye-opening for our organization as well as the community. So I think it's a win-win for everyone.
Well, when you talked about putting posters up in strategic locations where people can take a picture, mm-hmm. or take a card, or even if they're embarrassed, they can just say, I know somebody who needs this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And there's just so many things you can do beyond just confronting people.
Absolutely.
You can give them, you're able to disseminate that information.
Absolutely. And the goal is for every business in King George to have some information within their establishment. So if a person walks in and they need help, then that information is just a few seconds away from them. They don't have to know the hotline number, but they do have a piece of information.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would just think that something like this is something that all communities would be better off if they had and would strive to want to have.
Yeah, that's very encouraging. In fact, on Susan's Facebook post from the Sheriff's Department, there was a comment that said, when could we get that in Fredericksburg? So people were actually on the King George Sheriff's Department Facebook, and they are commenting. And so it is starting a conversation within all of our jurisdictions. So.
But Susan, that's what's exciting, that you're wanted. It's not just, but they want
you're
you.
Wanted.
You're wanted.
Yeah, on the sheriff's page, I'm wanted. Yes.
In a good sense.
Exactly. And I think more than anything, the opportunity to let the community know that there is services there, and the opportunity to let people who are in these situations know that there's hope. And that when the time is right for them, there's a hotline number, and there's going to be a voice, and there's going to be a face, and there's going to be services available, and that's 24/7, and that we're there. We're just waiting on them when the time is right for them, but somebody's going to be there.
And I guess, and that's the thing, you never know of where you plant the seed, or
exactly.
All of a sudden someone thinks, she's there, you know, I could go. And I could go and talk to her.
Exactly. And the staff in the sheriff's office has been so phenomenal also, because they have really joined in this partnership. And so if for some reason somebody comes in or needs information or makes a phone call, they've been so gracious about making sure that individual is directed the appropriate way.
And I'm sure you have, even when you've been there, the sometimes the unfortunate thing about this is there are stories that are powerful stories, but you're just not able to tell. And a lot of that goes on just because when people come and talk to you, there's the whole confidentiality thing.
Correct. Confidentiality is a cornerstone and is a huge piece of what we do for privacy and for safety reasons of the clients that we provide services to. But I can definitely firsthand tell you that since we have been in that King George office, that we have had many, many encounters and engagements with people who need those services, without a doubt.
Wow, it's exciting to hear that, but it's also sad because when you're dealing with things that there's the hurt and what's going on in the community, but you two are there.
Yeah.
Boy, and every day, no 2 days are the same.
You're right. No 2 days are the same. And that can be a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
But Susan and I are, and I'm not speaking for you, but it's something that's very exciting for us to be able to go into a community and to provide hope and to let people know that you don't have to stay where you are, and there are services there to assist you.
373-9373 is the hotline. EmpowerhouseVA.org is the website. There's also a Facebook page. LaTanya Moraine is here. Susan Sigman and Kathy Anderson. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
In Powerhouse, our focus this morning with Kathy Anderson, LaToya Moraine, and Susan Sigman here in PowerhouseVA.org. Kathy, it is, LaTanya, did I call you LaToya? LaTanya. Boil the Frog Slowly is this Saturday, 1 o'clock at the Smoot Library, and it is a powerful performance that talks about domestic violence.
Yes, it is, and we're really excited that we are having an opportunity to feature the stories of local survivors of domestic violence. Their stories are empowering. It's a great opportunity for education. And it's a great event for the community to come out and really kind of see, one, the stories that these survivors will be sharing, or the actors will be sharing of local survivors. And it's a great opportunity to be educated.
And boy, and it's good. It's good if you're in a situation, if you know of someone in a situation, it gives you some ideas. And even if you're not, like you say, it educates you, because chances are someday you're going to have a friend that you might be dealing with.
Absolutely.
This kind of way.
Absolutely, just from the sheer numbers, 1 in 4. And 1 in 4 is the statistics that we talk about. But when you really look at the numbers, those numbers look like 4.7 million women. So those are a lot of women. And you either know someone or you are that person. And so all this information will come in handy, absolutely.
Boil the Frog Slowly, it is 1 o'clock on Saturday at the Smoot Library in King George. You can register. Do you have to register in advance?
Sure. We would like for you to register online so that we can have an idea of the numbers.
Yep.
But the doors will be open, and if you just show up, there will be a seat for you.
Smoot.org, if you want to register online. Smoot.org, or you can go to the Smoot Library reference desk. Well, Susan, just hearing your story of what you're able to do now with the King George Sheriff's Office having a desk right there, that's exciting. That this is where, and this is how well thought of that Empower House is in the community, that, you know, we want somebody like you there.
And it is very exciting, and it's a great opportunity. It gives us an opportunity to be out interfacing more with the community, whether it's riding with patrol, whether it's if someone calls to the King George Sheriff's Office, whether they call the Empower House Hotline and let us know that they're a King George County resident, or whether they walk into the lobby at the Sheriff's Department. You know, any chance that we have to offer safety and to offer hope to someone is significant, and it's incredibly impactful. And letting people know we're there in the community, like I said earlier, just waiting for them, we're going to be there.
And I just think for deputies to be able to tell potential victims, mm-hmm. we've got someone in our office you could talk to.
Right. Instead of just saying, here's some numbers you mm-hmm. can call. They've got a name and a face and a direct link and something that they can also say to a citizen that they respond to. I know this person. I know this agency. We work with them and we work together, and their service is there for you.
And for King George to be able to say, yes, we want this, it would have been easy for them to say, we've got this under control. We've got, you know, our deputies are trained, but for them to want it.
And Kathy is such a initiator of making sure that Empower House services are out there and is always looking for opportunities to expand mm-hmm. and create that for the people in our community and for our planning district.
Well, Kathy, thank you for being an initiator.
That's me.
But this is really exciting, and another step forward in what Empower House does in the community. Like LaTanya mentioned earlier about just getting the name out, but also just being known and being able to help.
You know, I think for people not having to suffer in silence because now they know about a service, but I also think that co-location of services is tremendous, and we've seen it over and over again. People aren't going to pick up the phone, or they're not going to drive down the road to get their services. They want them where they look for them. So already people have been coming to the sheriff's office and the lobby talking about what's been happening in their lives. So now they have a resource different from what they've had in the past to help them through that victimization and beyond.
EmpowerHouseVA.org is the website. There's also a Facebook page. The hotline number is 373-9373. LaTanya Moraine, Susan Sigmund, Kathy Anderson here. Thank you very much. See you soon.
Thank you, too.
Thank you.
That is it for Town Talk.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.